Four, three.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the tens to possibly hundreds around the world listening, welcome to No Judgments Here, a podcast about music, music news, music reviews, and all things music. Here's your host, Mike Shook the Shocker Shooky and Wild Willie Will William.
That was an intro worthy of kings, my friend. Douglas Murray, welcome.
Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. See ya.
Yeah.
All right, your services are done.
Okay, see you guys. Take care.
Guys, how are we doing today?
I mean, Sunday fun day, you know? Super Sunday. Here we are.
Sweet. All right, well, we obviously have a lot to cover. It's been a few weeks since we've graced the airwaves with our presence. So let's just dive right into it. What's new?
What's new? Is everybody watching Coachella these past two weekends? The beginning of the music festival season is here. Coachella marks the beginning of all things music festivals, 100,000 people, but I think they actually are not having that many people this particular for these two weekends, but it started last weekend. Today's the final day of the two-week festival. I myself watched Coachella, as they call it on the internet, last week. I got to see the Deftones performance. I got to see No Doubt's return to the stage after 9-year absence. I got to see some Blur, and I watched Sublime perform their first official show as a returning with the Brad Newell's son as the lead singer. So none of you watched anything, eh? Zero. Zilch. No interest.
Not really. I mean, I watched just the clips on TikTok, and I went to YouTube and watched some of the Sublime stuff. But it's not my scene. It's not my bag, baby.
I follow a gentleman by the name of D Lord Inc. on social media. He's also friends with DJ Product and Head PE and other various people in the industry. And he was backstage supporting his friend DJ Product as he was on the stage with Sublime. And so I got to see the backstage version of the viewing from social media on Snapchat from D-Lord. He was also there for Deftones. He was also there for No Doubt. So I've seen kind of a behind-the-scenes view from somebody at Coachella.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that DJ Product was spinning the ones and twos with Sublime for that. Yeah.
He was for Coachella. Yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it was cool. Sublime performance, you get to the original members, and I don't know. I mean, in music, what better way to tribute a fallen member of a band than having his offspring now be the leader of the band? That's pretty full circle and pretty awesome. So I thought the performance was, you know, pretty good. I mean, we're talking about a dude who probably has never come close to performing in front of a crowd that large in his life. So I'd imagine there were a lot of nerves there and a lot of awkwardness. But I thought, is the delay bothering you as well? Or do you have a question? Question, go ahead.
Sublime front that man is correct. Is no longer Rome, is the son of the deceased. How long has he been doing this?
So he's been doing like, he's been but bands that I don't believe have ever been part of like the public sphere. So he's played shows out there in California. This was their very first official show. They played a show like their intro about a month and a half ago at a bar that made the rounds on the internet. But this was like the first official Sublime show, booked show. So they got dates lined up throughout the summer. The closest they're going to be to any of us is Denver. They're playing a show with the Marley Brothers in Denver at the Fiddler's Green Amphitheater, and they're playing a few festivals here and there. I expect a lot more tour dates to happen. Sublime with Rome, oddly enough, is also on a farewell tour right now. So you got Sublime doing shows in Coachella. You got Sublime with Rome doing a farewell tour. They were just in Tulsa the last week. So kind of an interesting thing. And obviously Rome is also the lead singer of Dirty Heads, I believe. So a lot of mixing and matching there with how that's working.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was good. I thought he did a very good job. I don't know, saying true to the music, but I mean, it sounds a lot like his dad when he sings. So, but I mean, that's not hard to.
I thought No Doubt was awesome. I loved it. So, I stayed up. They didn't come.
What did you think of No Doubt?
Somewhere between 11 and 11:30 our time over here in Arkansas. But I watched the entire set. Gwen was killing it. The crowd was eating it up. They were singing loud and proud, and No Doubt fans were out and about. And I hope that this isn't the last we hear of No Doubt, but I think it may be. Gwen kind of enjoys the solo life. Her show, America's Got Talent, the judges' voice. I just feel like there's a No Doubt in the future. But delay video is really killing me. But they were awesome. It was a great set. Very impressed. Very happy with it. And it's cool because Sublime and No Doubt played shows together out in California, like together in like 92, 93, 94 when they were coming out. So here we are in 2024, 30-something years later, and they're rocking the main stage of Coachella on a Saturday night, which was great.
Yeah.
Would have been cool. And obviously,
it would have been cool to see them do.
They played. I saw Red. They were the only band I cared about on Friday.
Went come out on stage for that, but
they've made the rounds as well in the news because apparently the Deftones instrumentals are done for their new album, and now it's up to Chino to get in, lay down the vocal tracks, and so we can have a new Deftones album. Hopefully by the end of the year, we'll see about that. But Deftones doing what the Deftones do, which is rocking it and killing it and crushing it. No, that was it for me. Vampire Weekend was a surprise appearance.
Were there any other big name bands on Coachella?
Appearance played a couple snippets of songs. She also played with Lana Del Rey. I mean, but the headliners were Lana Del Rey, Tyler the Creator, and the Sunday night headliner, who I can't think of right now. I don't know. But the rest of the lineup to me was, you know, pretty suspect. Not our cup of tea. So I saw everybody I saw. The Blur set has also been making the rounds because the crowd was so lackluster, but it's not a surprise. Blur was never huge in North America. They're very huge over in Europe, but really song number two is basically that's it for Blur when it comes to the United States. So the crowd, the crowd was quiet.
Yeah, that's the only song I know by them. Murray, did you happen to check out the lineup? Was there a lot of stuff on there? You're more in tune with the newer acts that are out there.
Unfortunately, I'm not well versed on who all was there.
Doja Cat.
Truth be told, Doja Cat was your Sunday night Coachella time. If it wasn't for the social media people that I follow, that were there.
I bet Doug would have liked a lot of the lineup.
Was happening until I saw
Lil Uzi Vert, J Balvin, Peso Pluma.
So no, I.
Some Ice Spice.
I get.
Yeah. Dom Dalla.
I do like me some Peso Pluma.
There you go. Doug's in tune with the Coachella crowd. The man's always hit to the youngsters.
Like song, so I hear him at least once a day, right now.
Yeah.
It was odd because I was listening back to the 100th episode where you had asked me, how do I find new music if I don't listen to new music? And I thought about that, and I find it because I am on social media all the time. And so it's coming. I'm getting it in that aspect from TMZ, from just the various people that I follow, from daily news on Snapchat. Absolutely. And to keep
you're basically around with today's youth. Today's youth. You're our today's youth.
Across some stuff
field reporter. Yeah, correspondent.
Today's youth.
A new segment. Just invented right now.
Of course. Yeah. I like it.
We don't want to be these old dudes out of touch with the reality.
Right. Just keep us in tune with what's going on with these young whippersnappers.
You can work on the title for it, but Whippersnapper is where I'm going with originally.
I like it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that kind of proves to what it is. It's, you know, old people getting in tune with the young whippersnappers.
Yeah, so I'll agree.
It's fitting. It's an old person terminology, which we are. I mean, look at the gray.
Oh, yeah.
Big news. You are right.
So big news besides Coachella, big news out of Pryor, Oklahoma. The Rock Festival was recently acquired by DWP. That's Danny Weimer Productions. What does this? I mean, it's huge for Rocklahoma because they've always been kind of a C D type festival. They don't bring in big lineups. You've got 3 days with 36 bands, roughly total
for extra years.
What does this do for Rocklahoma? You think you see it in going like forward
1 or 2 years with what they were originally going with if Danny Weimer is going to step in and acquire the rights to Rocklahoma and be the talent producer, then it's not ending anytime soon. And you can only hope that, you know, each year it gets a little bit stronger with their lineup and we're not seeing so many repeats. One of the things I was hoping once they announced the news that they acquired it is that maybe we're getting rid of the 80s stuff. And that didn't happen this year. I'll be interested to see what we do in the future with that. But I mean, DWP comes with a large portfolio of the talent that they can bring in to a music festival. So I expect bigger and better things in the future. It's debatable as what we see with this year's lineup. But if you look at lineups across the board in 2024, we've talked about this before, the music festivals just aren't as jam-packed with talent as what they've been in years past. So I'm hoping this is like a 1 year blip and things are on the up and up for 2025 and beyond.
You would think so. The main thing that concerns me as well, I mean, thinking about this is, are we going to see an increase in ticket prices?
Yeah.
Because right now with, you know, I think you can get a general or a VIP, I think, at Rocklahoma for $400 roughly. That's a little bit more than half of what you pay for Louder Than Life, which was, you know, over $700. General admission, you can get about $200. I don't know what general admission goes for Louder Than Life, but do you think that ticket prices increase next year?
The status quo with what they're doing with this news, the ticket prices will remain static. I don't believe that DWP got into the Rocklahoma name to stay static with what Rocklahoma has been doing in the past. So I would expect in order to bring a little bit bigger bands to a festival that only has a capacity for 24,000 people and it's never sold out, I would expect if you want bigger names, then you need to expect bigger prices.
Do you think that it doesn't sell out due to the band names, or do you think it doesn't sell out due to where the festival is held and the...
Yeah, it's you know, you're asking metropolitan people, Dallas, Tulsa. Tulsa's probably easiest, but Dallas, Oklahoma City, Wichita, Kansas City, and St. Louis to travel multiple hours to a festival in the middle of nowhere, basically 45 miles from Tulsa, when they can see all these acts in their hometown and go back home and sleep in their bed at the end of the night. It's a large ask. Douglas.
Not my area of expertise, but so do you think with the acts that they put together in the years past that have seemed to be 80s prevalence, as you guys, I think that you hint towards, you think
it would sell better, but I do believe you have to get rid of this 80s centric. There's like the 80s bands on this particular lineup are Faster Pussycat, Tom Kiefer, Winger, and Vixen. These acts are not selling tickets at all. They add nothing to the lineup. As far as like ticket sales are required. And so unless you're going to get Motley Crue, the Def Leppards, the Bon Jovis, Poisons and bands like that, it's like a throwaway tracks that you put on an album just to release an album, right? And you got four great songs that you know are going to do work, so you need some filler, and that's what AB's X are now to Rucklahoma. Well, they are.
So I'm not.
They are the producers of the festival we go to in September called Louder Than Life in Louisville. They also do Rock on the Range, which is now Sonic Temple in Columbus. They do a two festivals out in Sacramento. One's a country festival called Golden Sky. The other one's Aftershock Festival, and they have a tattoo and metal festival in Ohio as well called Incarceration. And then they have a festival at Daytona Beach called Welcome to Rockville. They were also the talent buyers for the failed Woodstock 50, which had a decent lineup, but the Woodstock people couldn't produce the talent money to pay everybody, so it ended up getting canceled. So DWP has been around since probably Shane and I went to Rock on the Range in year two of DWP, which was, I want to say 2007, to see the return of Stone Temple Pilots. They've been put on festivals now since, I believe, 2005, 2006. So they have a long history now and are very well respected because they are still independent. They're not with like Live Nation or Golden Voice or C3. They're not with the big conglomerate festivals who are starting to put together the same festivals you see everywhere. They're on their own. They're their own machine right now.
And they do a really good job of running their festivals. You hardly see any type of complaints with how festivals run in the various, you know, at the various places. So they do a good job. I mean, Louder Than Life. I mean, we've talked about it. There was no issues. Maybe year one we did have a little bit of sound issues here and there, but other than that, they're run smoothly. Vendors are run
very good.
They're nice. I mean, it's quick. I mean, there's really no issues like we've had in the past in Rocklahoma. So the level of professionalism is definitely going to be better. I wonder what this does to the atmosphere, the crowd, the concert goers, festival goers have already kind of started complaining about, this is going to change and this is going to change. That's Rocklahoma. They're just going to bitch for the sake of bitching. So
for the two of you who are past Rocklahoma annual goers, and Mike, with you possibly, I don't know if it's confirmed that you may or are going this time.
No. The lineups are not to my liking for me to warrant spending the money and traveling because it's an expensive trip. So I'm sitting out this year, much too. I would rather be going, but the lineups just aren't good.
Absolutely.
But does this give yes. the two of you more hope for future Rocklahomas?
Oh yeah.
Possibly putting it back on your schedule
because
of the DWP.
It's a lot closer for Will. I mean, now that I am in the Great North, it's the same amount of distance for me to travel to Oklahoma that it is to Kentucky. I looked it up the other day. So it's really no difference to me, but I think just the familiarity and the option of camping at Rocklahoma or taking the hour and 15-hour, 30-minute drive back to Will's place is there. I'm just saying it's an option. Don't make a face. But, you know, the camping aspect, we had a really good time.
DWP taking over, acquiring Rocklahoma.
I would definitely kind of choose
Oklahoma begging for and asking for like a decade.
Driving
now
to Kentucky.
Like, once Live Nation took over Rocklahoma, it was a good change. It was the proper change. It kept the festival alive. But the Live Nation main guy who took over the festival and was the talent buyer ended up going to DWP about 4 or 5 years ago. And so I've been wanting to see this for a while now. And so I can't wait to see what the future holds. And again, I think the main thing what it does is it's going to make the festival last longer than anything that they like. If you have fears of Rocklahoma dying over the next year or two because a lot of festivals are going to the graveyard, DWP acquiring it kind of takes care of that and gives it some extra life for, you know, 2, 3, 4, however many more years they can handle it. So So with saying that, let's go ahead and go through the lineup. We got Avenged Sevenfold, your Friday night lineup. Disturbed is your Saturday night. Slipknot making the return for Sunday night. You also have Evanescence and Hellstorm, who are teasing a tour. I think that's going to be announced on Monday and Tuesday. A Day to Remember on Saturday, which is exciting for me. It was a good ad for Oklahoma. And then Lamb of God, Mastodon, Kerry King tour on Sunday, which is also pretty good for Rocklahoma. Then you got Anthrax, Clutch, Nothing More, Cold Chamber, Bad Flower, Rocklahoma, Always, House Band, thank you, Pop Evil, Giovanni and the Hired Guns, Bad Wolves, and then those 80s acts that I talked about earlier. And then festival kind of dies at that point. Set It Off, The Warning, Kim Dracula, Tim Montana, Austin Mead, The Plot in You, Death Rocks, Oxymorons, Holy Wars, Any Given Sin, Enough's Enough, and a few local bands listed on that. To me right now, looking at that, that's like 30 bands. So you're still looking, you kind of wonder what all DWP is going to be doing to this festival. But based off of that, they're still starting around 3. They're still ending around 11. And you still have maybe five bands on each stage. So, you know, the bigger and better is not starting year one. So we'll see what year two.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of these contracts were already signed. I mean, it makes you wonder how long DWP's kind of been in the mix. They weren't teasing anything. It was kind of just sprung on us, you know, that day or the day before that DWP was taking this over. I'm not in the
business, so it probably made sense to them.
Yeah.
And as we know, is Rocklahoma.
Maybe a last-ditch effort to sell some tickets just because they knew that the lineup was going to just sell them on the promise of next year. So,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They go for the environment to see their family. They don't go for the music. So, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what it does. Maybe, I mean, I do anticipate the prices increasing. Camping is probably the biggest part of that festival because it is, I mean, it's big grounds. Yeah. The campgrounds are huge. So that is, I think, the main selling point for Rocklahoma. So, which is funny, they talk about these campground parties, and then the last time we went, we got out and drove around.
Our neighbors have always been chill.
The campsites to try to find said parties. Camp
by that one time.
We didn't see nothing.
But yeah, I've always seen nothing but pretty chilled, relaxed atmosphere in the campground. So I don't know where it's happening. It's somewhere out there.
Certainly no gathering of the Juggalos.
That is correct. It is no
gathering of the Juggalos. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Because that's a family likes to party.
That is a family that likes to party, and they love each other. No. No.
I will tell you what, I mean, Rocklahoma is much better people watching than Louder Than Life. The caliber of people at Rocklahoma for people watching is it's top notch. It's people of Walmart type level. I mean, it's good stuff. Bless their hearts, they have a great time. It's fantastic. Yeah, we took Kane the last time he went. I don't think he's ever seen that many boobs. So, good times. So, sucks. Therefore, now no festivals on my horizon.
That's a bummer.
I'm bummed.
Feel for you, man. Feel for you.
Bummed.
Feel for you.
First time since 2015 that I've not gone to a festival. Their stage
schedule this week.
I can go to the Minnesota Yacht Club. That's yep.
Stained is back on the road for the first time. Well, I mean, they did tour last time, but now they have
not a lot of bands on there that
they do have an album to support now.
What else we got? They
started their tour earlier this week. Pretty good set list. They are 5 songs from Stained, 4 songs from Break the Cycle, Only three songs from Dysfunction. Dysfunction just celebrated its 25th anniversary this week. So I was hoping we'd see a little bit more. But Lowest and Me, Eyes Wide Open, Just Go, Fade, Raw, Not Again, Here and Now. Off the new album, Something to Remind You, Right Here, Wanna Be Outside, Better Days. Off the new album, Paper Wings, So Far Away, For You, It's Been a While, and Mud Shovel. So 17 song set. That's a pretty good set list. Mike, I apologize if you did not want to hear that since you're seeing them next week. And I should have said spoiler alert. That was inconsiderate. You probably already forgot about it. Yeah, you probably already.
That's all right. I'll forget it. Yeah. I'll forget it by then. So, more than likely. You know, my memory sucks. Rough. So,
rumors are out there. For those who went to Coachella, there's billboards
concert,
on the desert highway on the way to the Coachella grounds.
So,
Slipknot has a billboard out there right now about a website to go to, and also teasing a one show performance. It's probably going to be at the BMO Stadium, like Bourne is doing in Los Angeles. The website is youcan'tkillme.com, which is always nice. But the billboard says, one night only, You Can't Kill Me, Long May You Die, Slipknot, which to me, we're going to find out. I'd imagine either this week or next week that they're doing a anniversary show for their first album in 25 years at the BMO Stadium, and then follow it up like what Korn did with the tour date announcement, performing the first album from front to back, which is cool, which is fine. That's exciting. Good tour for you, Mike, in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, Clutch, I'd like Rival to see Sons, that.
And Blackstone Cherry.
If they were just going to do the first amazing album. In
a sense, that's a great trio. It's going to be a good rock.
Yeah.
Leading up to Louder Than Life as well.
Three bands that I really enjoy. James, so, yeah, Keenan of Tool, Professor Circle, and
Christopher had his 60th birthday this week. He's currently out on the road on Sesenta. With Primus and A Perfect Circle and Pussifer, they're basically changing. They're doing like three songs. Next band plays three songs. The next band plays three songs. And then you start all over again. It's been pretty cool from what I've seen in the set list and in the videos out there. Tool showed up. The members of Tool showed up last night's show in L.A. to perform one song. And then some original members of A Perfect Circle, Paz and Troy Van Leeuwen, who's now in Queens of the Stone Age, showed up to do Judith with The Perfect Circle. So looks like a big party, a good time, a pretty awesome tour that's happening with Maynard James Keenan. Yeah. 18 months is
a
long time.
He just come out in the media and said that during the next 18 months, we'll be writing songs for all three of his bands.
Yeah, well, we'll see in those 18 months how many albums get released. But yeah, man.
In Tool time, it's not. I mean,
these guys aren't getting any younger. Can't wait as long as you did in the past. And then I think the only other tour news was Hawthorne Heights announcing a tour that's coming to the Amp. I think it's coming up there in your neck of the woods. It's playing at Stir Cove and Doug's neck of the woods with a whole host of like pop punk bands. Thursday is playing at the Amp with them, which is pretty sweet, but we'll see if I'm able to attend. It's like in August, I think. It's going to be hot, but $20 ticket, got me in. I have no idea. I don't know anything about Hawthorne Heights, but I'd be down for some Thursday in Anne Berlin, at least for that part of the tour. I think they are. I didn't realize they're big enough to do an amphitheater run, but here we are.
Yeah, I don't know anything about them either. You said they're pop punk. Is that right?
That's all I got for tour news, I think, unless I've left something out, but I don't think I have.
Gotcha. Right on. That's all you got for tour news? Okay. Well, that brings us to the fastest rising,
we do sucks.
Most
we
need, popular segment in No Judgments history. Yeah.
That's, yeah, we should have not.
You know, I mean, according to the feedback from our marketing department, they want us to push this front and center.
Yeah.
Well, you got to draw the people in and make them wait to for the good stuff, boost the ad revenue, all that good stuff. So okay, that brings us to 5 minutes of hip hop with one Reverend Smooth Douglas Murray.
Ref, landed his lay it on me, baby. Rock number one, thanks to Five Finger Death Punch. Five Finger Death Punch recently put out a deluxe version of their 2022 album, Afterlife. The album's lead single was This Is The Way, a DMX collaboration that mashed up the band's Judgment Day and X's The Way It's Gonna Be. The collab really struck a chord with listeners, topping the Billboard Hard Rock Digital Song Sales Chart. Billboard reports that This Is The Way pulled in a staggering 1,546 sales and gave Five Finger Death Punch its 17th number one. The song's impressive performance on the hard rock charts, however, was a first for DMX. Five Finger Death Punch guitarist Zoltan Bathory told Loudwire that he wanted to reach out to DMX years ago. Unfortunately, the schedules of the two artists never seemed to line up. After X died in 2021, Bathory felt compelled to make the collaboration happen as a tribute to the rapper. The band was able to get their hands on isolated DMX vocals, and the rest, as they say, is history. DMX appears to be in higher demand than ever, as evidenced by this chart topper and recent comments made by Hitmaka. The producer revealed he's sitting on multiple X collabs and is waiting for the right time to drop them. In the immortal words of DMX, first we gonna rock, then we gonna roll. Then we gonna let it pop, go, let it go what? X gonna give it to you, he gonna give it to you. And that he did. Sticking to the theme of collaborations, Post Malone is on the biggest single day song in Spotify history, thanks to Taylor Swift. Post Malone has now officially become a part of history thanks to his appearance on a hit song by none other than Taylor Swift. According to Variety, Swift's newest album, The Tortured Poet Society, surpassed 300 million streams in its first day of release. The first single on the album, Fortnite, which features Posty, debuted at number one with 25.2 million streams, surpassing the previous record set by Adele's Easy On Me, and making it the biggest single-day song streaming hit in Spotify history. Continuing on the theme of staggering numbers, Taylor Swift sold an astronomical 1.4 million copies of The Tortured Poets Department on its first day of release in U.S. After 1 day, Poets earned Swift's her single largest sales week for an album in the U.S., surpassing the 1.359 million sold of 1989, Taylor's version, in its first week. Unfortunately, that staggering 1,546 digital song sales from the aforementioned Five Finger Death Punch and DMX isn't so impressive anymore. Taylor giveth and she taketh away. What does hip hop love more than anything? Beef. There's a lot of beef going on in hip hop right now, from Kendrick versus Drake and J. Cole, to Chris Brown versus Quavo from Migos, to the more recent Ye versus Drake. But we're not going to talk about any of those beefs. No, the beef we're going to serve up right now may not be in the hip-hop genre, but it's in the most talked about, but it is the most talked about beef right now. Taylor Swift does it again and sings up some beef with Kim K. On her song, Thank You, Amy, in which the K in thank and the I-M in Amy clearly spells out Kim, letting the world know right away who she's talking about. Taylor's not letting sleeping dogs lie and is clearly still upset with Kim. In her song, Thank You, Amy, Taylor says, I don't think you've changed much, and so I've changed your name and any real defining clues. And one day, your kid comes home singing a song that only us two is gonna know is about you. Swift said in an apparent reference to the daughter of Kim and Ye, Northwest. Early last year, Northwest posted a TikTok featuring Kardashian with the two dancing to Shake It Off. I repeat, and one day your kid comes home singing a song that only us two is gonna know is about you. Taylor hit hard with that one. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to think Taylor is the bully in this fight. And that's 5 minutes of what should have been Hip Hop with Doug.
That was a lot of Taylor Swift hip hop news.
It was. I couldn't, you know, yeah. I didn't want to talk about the other beefs. I tried to.
Wow.
Hip hop, they go hand in hand. Taylor's been known to rap on some songs.
Yeah.
She likes the hip hop. She's got a song with Post that we would consider hip hop.
Sure.
So I thought we could keep Taylor. And plus those fucking numbers. I mean,
yeah.
It's got to be talked about.
Yeah. If we want to grow our audience, Taylor Swift has to be a part of our conversation. Yeah.
Oh yeah, look what it's done for New Heights. We want the podcast with the Kelce brothers.
We got to get in
the Swifties.
We can't get him back.
Come on.
We got to get
in. I think they drove them to number one status.
Correspondent for Tallywhackers. Who is it? Whippersnappers.
Right.
Douglas. Here to give us the Taylor Swift news. Doug, I'm surprised in that 5 minutes of hip hop based off of what happened in the last episode that we didn't leave with all the P. Diddy stuff.
Well, there's only so much you can get in 5 minutes of hip hop. And had we brought up P. Diddy, it would have taken the entire 5 minutes of hip hop. And so I like to at least get a little bit of variety in there. If we were to do a podcast about hip hop, then it would be nothing but P. Diddy right now. But it's also starting to die down a little bit. The P. Diddy stuff is dying down, which I've said that it always would. If P. Diddy was smart, he takes the lead from Russell Simmons. He gets out of the country. He shuts his fucking mouth. And he just goes, out of sight, out of mind. We'll end up forgetting about him shortly. And everything will go on to something else.
But we still don't even know what the raid was about. Like, we have speculation. So until we find out what the raid was really centered around, once we get the news, and I don't know if we're getting the news or not, but once that news happens, then the P. Diddy news.
Well, I mean, I think it's based off of the producer who put the allegations of sex trafficking and whatever else he said that P. Diddy was doing. And then there was the Cassie had her, his ex-girlfriend Cassie had sued P. Diddy or charged him with all sorts of stuff. But then a week after the lawsuit, they settled for an undisclosed amount of money, which had to have been exorbitant for that to have happened so quickly. She has been rumored to be, what's the word? The FBI or whoever is talking to her and she's sharing her information.
She's a informant.
She's contributing. Whatever. I think the charges, basically what I think is we're going to hear is that there's sex trafficking because these P. Diddy parties that he has, and then after the main P. Diddy party goes away, and then there's the late night stuff that's behind doors, involves a lot of sexual claims that could be of the same sex sort, as well, all sex is involved. I mean, you guys heard the clip. Is this a family show? There's stuff I can't even. Have we heard this alleged clip of P. Diddy and Meek Mill having relations?
I don't know, but.
You guys don't know anything about this. There's clips out there that somebody, a famous individual, I think it was a producer, I don't remember who made this allegation. He was at a P. Diddy party. There's been plenty of rumors that people open up doors and see P. Diddy in throes of lovemaking with other men, to which P. Diddy comes out of one of those sessions to confront the individual and says, that making people do stuff for money is a huge Turn On, but Power Rush. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of allegations that they make that they
Turn On
individuals intoxicated or give Power them grab. Drugs that make them not remember things. They roofie them, and then they put them in sexual situations with other men, up to and including P. Diddy, and videotape these things, and then after the fact show them said videotape, which Meek Mill is allegedly one of these individuals, and say, you know, basically shut your mouth. We own you. You'll do what we say. You're kind of our puppet now. There's allegations of that going on. There's allegations of him grooming Justin Bieber when he was 15 and spent time at P. Diddy's house. And there's videos that have come out where P. Diddy's talking about all the shit that they're doing. There's the allegations of when Usher lived with them for a year. Usher's parents signed over rights to P. Diddy for P. Diddy to be the parental guardian or the guardian for Usher. And Usher complaining that he was being put into situations that a 15-year-old to 16-year-old that he was shouldn't be put in, to seeing things that he shouldn't be seeing, and a whole lot of partying and no working going on when he was there to work and was, it's just crazy. You guys got to go down the rabbit hole of P. Diddy if you haven't already, which you clearly haven't. It's insane. So I've gone off on a tangent. We're going to get sexual. We're going to get sex trafficking, where they're saying they have sex slaves at these parties. There's a lot of drug allegations. Apparently he had a basketball player from an ex-basketball player from Syracuse.
Oh, that white dude is like his mule. Old,
this white kid.
Yeah.
His drug mule got arrested because he's the one that carries the drugs for P. Diddy. The P. Diddy.
Yeah, you know who I'm bad for in this situation right now through the stories is Justin Bieber, because now people are like dissecting Justin Bieber videos. Like that video you sent me where he's surrounded by P. Diddy. There's one video that he's surrounded by P. Diddy and like OBJ and a couple other dudes, and it looks like he's having to do things that he's not wanting to do. I feel bad for Bieber to have his name dragged through on this. Like, he was just doing all these famous athletes and stars when he was trying to come up. That's an unfortunate rumor mill for you to be a part of. And then there's P. Diddy and Bieber, and P. Diddy pats Bieber, but then he gives him like the shakedown to make sure he's not wired.
Yeah, that's the one I was just going to bring up, where he's like, are you wired? And then, and you could like read Bieber's mouth where he says, no, I'm not wearing a wire. And then he ducks his head down, and then P. Diddy goes in like he's talking into his ear. But as he's doing it, he's kind of just randomly touching him on his chest, like he's feeling for wire. And then right at the end, he puts his full palm on the chest and then just goes down and he goes in and hugs him and talks to him in his ear. It's just real suspect, and the way the media is painting the picture right now is very. It makes people think that it's all true.
Yeah,
and it leads me in a direction to go, oh shit, all the things, and then. But this is now all these conversations are coming out from in the past when somebody was at a podcast where these rappers are joking with each other about a P. Diddy party, or you know the shit that goes down at a P. Diddy party. Or that, man, you know, I leave at midnight. I'm not sticking around for those. Like, all these things are coming out over the last 15 years or so. People are dissecting these comments. The lyric, there's a Meek Mill lyric. I wish I had it right now. I can look it up real quick. But Meek Mill says something like, makes me think about the shit I did with Diddy. And then goes to another bar, and everybody's just like, whoa, wait a minute. Did Milk just confess to doing some fucked up shit with P. Diddy in his lyrics? Because P. Diddy is a part of the Illuminati. With the rest
how has
of
this not been in mainstream media news, or have I just missed it? Am I under a rock?
Oh no, I'm saying too much. I gotta go. Thanks for having me.
Wait a second here.
There's been a lot of rumor and speculation out there that
now the question our
young Whipstopper, 5 minutes of hip hop correspondent, the Rev Smooth, is a member of the Illuminati. That is neither confirmed nor denied.
Could you think he'd be invited? Huh?
And is that why we didn't cover P. Diddy?
Oh, yeah. Is that is that a reason why he was not originally in the 5 minutes of hip hop?
As I mentioned last time, I can either deny or confirm any of these rumors at this time. It's best that we just move on to another topic that you guys might want to talk about. Any other hip hop questions or anything you have you're curious about? I do want to make the correction from the 100th episode where I mentioned Future as the producer of Kanye's album. It was not Future. It was Ty Dolla $ign. And at one point in time when we were talking about MGK, I called him Eminem, which was embarrassing. And it wasn't Future. So anytime I name drop Future, I meant to say Ty
Dolla $ign. And we should note that Future and our boy Metro Boomin are going on a huge arena tour that was just announced as last week, playing the BOK Center. I don't know if they're in your neck of the woods or not, but yeah, Metro Boomin out there, booming to arenas. Who knew?
That's going to be a huge tour.
We talked about it in the last episode.
Metro Boomin is the largest rap producer in the game right now from Hotland.
Who's Metro Boomin again?
And has been for probably the last 10 years. Easily.
Do I know any tracks of Metro Boomin? No, I don't. I can't name one. Give us three huge Metro Boomin tracks. 10 years? Douglas.
Wow. Okay.
I think the first one would be from the Migos, Bad and Bougie. Okay.
Migos is the one. He was... Chris Brown's after one of the Migos. Another one of the Migos is the guy that got shot at the mall playing some dice. Is that right? Quavo.
Who's the Migos?
Correct. Quavo is the current one.
I think it was in a mall, but it could have been a bowling alley mall.
I thought that was at a bowling alley. They're playing dice.
It could have been.
Well, if you don't know Bad and Bougie, my
correction. I said that March was my third two other favorite Metro Boomin song last episode.
Maybe something that I would know.
Want to specify? There's only one March and only one favorite March. March is my third favorite month.
So okay.
I just want to throw that out there.
Jumpman from Drake.
Now, Metro Boomin in concert though. Is he just going to DJ all of these songs without the artist there? What do you think he's doing there, Douglas?
Absolutely. Well, you've already seen Metro Boomin was in Coachella last year, wasn't he? A main stage, final night kind of act at Coachella last year. Yeah. So he does, yes. He's going to be on the DJ booth. He'll be elevated behind the DJ booth, just like
I feel like we talked about that.
Any of those other DJ fellers, like who's that guy that throws cakes at people? Skrillex, and then
Steve
that
Aiko.
Asian feller, his dad was Benihana. Steve Aiko, yes, he will be behind the ones and twos, and just have artist after artist come out that does the song. He's Kanye.
The new Kanye West.
I said it last time. He is, not Kanye West. DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled, if he has a concert, every artist that's on his song is going to come out. It's just going to be a new artist after another artist after another artist. So, but if it's going to be Metro in the future, then obviously they're going to do their album. And if we're lucky, there'll be one or two people that comes out depending on what area of the country they're in. If they're in Atlanta, I guarantee you the Migos are going to come out. 21 Savage is going to come out. those are probably two of the biggest Atlanta artists that he's worked with. If he's on the West Coast, you're going to get Future. You're going to get all kinds of...
You're definitely going to see Future. Because he's part of the... He's headliner of the tour. He's going to be on every day. Doesn't matter where they're at. West Coast.
No matter where.
Within 5 years of his first output with Future, he has amassed well over a dozen top 20 R&B hip-hop hits with a similar quantity of gold and platinum certifications. There you go. Metro Boomin. He was born in St. Louis in 1993. He's a young whippersnapper.
Let's just, I mean, right now, going down the list of his productions, we've got, in 2013, he's got his first platinum with Future. He's got gold, four times platinum with Drake. He's got Drake and Future that went five times platinum. He's got Kid Cudi song, three times platinum. A song featuring The Weeknd, eight times platinum. A song with Future here in 2016, platinum. Lil Uzi Vert, platinum. Lil Uzi Vert, four times platinum. Big Sean, six times platinum. Gucci Mane featuring Drake, three times platinum. Congratulations. We all know that song, Post Malone featuring Quavo. Congratulations. 11 times platinum. That's diamond status. Tunnel Vision with Kodak Black, four times platinum. We're in 2017 still.
What's up?
Future, nine times
platinum.
What
about any Taylor Swift tunes?
Savage, six times. He has not done any Taylor Swift tunes. The Weeknd. I mean, it's outrageous. Everything's three times, four times, gold, platinum. Wow. Anything the guy touches turns platinum.
Very impressive. Very, very impressive. Very impressive. Lock it in.
Metro Boomin. Lock it in, son.
Lock it in. All right. That's our Metro Boomin update, followed by P. Diddy. I think it's great that P. Diddy's name is Diddy because it makes it so easy to say P. Diddy diddling around.
Metro Boomin update. It's great. What other headlines are out there, Will?
Yes, you almost made what you wanted if that was the original thought.
And is that a coincidence?
When he made up the name in the first place. Because it was Puff Daddy, and then he changed it to Diddy, but then I think he added the P back to P. Diddy. When he was Puff Daddy, there was no diddling. He didn't change the name to Diddy until the diddling started. The most famous scene of MTV of all time will always be his show, Make a Band, where he made those dudes and that chick walk across the boroughs just for a slice of pie. That's when everybody should have known that P. Diddy's kind of sick in the head and not all there. That's where the diddle should have started, the rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making the band. So speaking of making the band, since you brought it up, one of the bands that was made in that show was Danity Kane.
I saw them open up for Pussycat Dolls and Christina Aguilera. There you go. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So one of those individuals that was on Danity Kane, Aubrey O'Day, I believe, she is claiming to be on the inside of this P. Diddy information and knows more than she's got the deets. She knows everything. Donald Trump Jr. was Aubrey O'Day's ex-man friend. They were dating for a while. Donald Trump Jr. was on a podcast with, I think, DJ Academics, but I'm not sure. And he mentioned that Kim Porter, P. Diddy's ex-wife and mother of his children that has now passed away, had said that P. Diddy was in some nefarious shit. And so he knows a bunch of shit because of that. And Aubrey O'Day's like, I don't know why you guys aren't talking to me. I've been telling y'all for years about P. Diddy. but nobody's listening, and I'm about to drop some major bombs on y'all, making the band Danity Kane. It all comes back together.
Overwhelmed with information. Mike, real quick, this week begins the Walmart Amp spring summer concert schedule. We've got two shows this coming weekend.
It's too much for me. I'm overwhelmed.
Friday, and I think Hozier is in town on Friday. I believe Riley Green on Saturday. And we are up to 40 shows for the summer. 40 shows, which is great. I shared a screenshot of one of my memories from a decade ago. The Amp had just announced Filter, Sponge, Everclear playing at the Amp, and that was their third show to be announced. So quite a massive growth and quite a what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but 40 versus 3, that's good growth in a decade.
Definitely.
You start with Foo Fighters first and foremost.
How with these 40 shows does it compare to last year's lineup?
I will say, to me, their best lineup of all time. I feel like
last year there was a lot more big names than what this
stupid
year.
Stupid tours come to the Amp that year, and it was like it was a mix of me being unemployed and having a brand new baby, and then COVID came in and just wiped it all clear. So I wasn't even sure if I was gonna be able to go to any of those shows, but it was an awesome summer tour. But I would say, I mean, with 40 shows, you know, as long as I can get $20 tickets, I mean, there's no reason not to go. And we have proper babysitter coverage. No reason for me not to go to 10 or 15 of them, right? Right now, tickets for two shows, or three shows, I should say. Young the Giant, Cage the Elephant, Glass Animals. And then, like I've mentioned before, Trey bought those Creed tickets very early on in the process. So those are the three shows I have tickets for so far. And Erica, the wife, is going to New Kids on the Block, Paul Abdul, and there's one more person on there who I can't think of now. But so she's going to that, which will be an awesome time. Well, it was a girls' night trip, and so I will be sitting at the house with the kiddos. So.
Okay.
I'm okay to sacrifice such a thing.
Fair enough.
Because it would be awesome to see NKOTB and Paul Abdul. Oh, it's DJ Jeff. I don't know what he's going to be doing exactly, but he could be doing the same thing that Metro Boomin would be doing, just spinning the ones and twos. Is that what the kids say, spinning the ones and twos? Because I'm saying that a lot, and I don't want to be misquoted here with my –
On the ones and twos.
On the ones and twos.
I don't know if I'm sure.
Spinning. I think maybe they just go on. But I mean, it's all fits.
If you happen to see it, I think you just touched buttons.
Oh, you said the screen.
Did anybody see the?
I mean, there's really no spinning or
disaster
scratching.
That Grimes had last week at Coachella.
Art? She couldn't get the actual tunes DJing? Were set is that a lost
two
art
times
nowadays?
Speed, and she couldn't figure out how to stop the two times. So she would start a track, and it would be too fast, and she would just be like cussing into the microphone. She'd be like, "We're having some serious technical issues. I cannot figure." And she couldn't. She didn't have any tech knowledge to figure out how to get the tunes to go to its regular speed, and so it was just a complete clusterfuck for Grimes, and you should definitely check it out. It's very funny, but also I felt bad for her. Baby
is,
mama.
Is that Elon Musk?
She was DJing for reasons unknown. Probably got paid a good hefty amount. That's probably why she did it. But probably, I imagine she made six figures to get up there and just completely mess up a Coachella performance and be all over Twitter. Yeah.
But yes, I think the old school DJ Jazzy Jeff will definitely be using records. DJ Product the other night, last night was Sublime. He was using records. I think your EDM people are going to be using the electronic version. But I think mainly you'll still see in the rap and hip hop genre that they'll have records.
And then, speaking of DJ Jazzy Jeff, Will Smith made his return to the stage last week I think he got on stage with the Little Uzi Vert. I believe that's who it was.
Well, that's good.
For sure. That's Coachella. Good. And they did a performance of Men in Black, which was interesting. I don't know that. I mean, it's a good song. It worked. I mean, they could have done, you know.
Yeah, of all the Will Smith songs, they do that one.
I mean, they're awful. It's a pretty old song. I mean, I bet nobody at Coachella knows that Will Smith did records.
Right. So.
That's what I'm saying. Like. But yeah. With that being said, he doesn't have a song that's.
I mean, I don't think he's released
new enough for them to have known it.
Any music in the last at least 15 years, and it's probably longer than that, where it was actually like well known, like what Men in Black and Summertime. My parents just don't understand. But that's not in the last 15 years. How is it? I'd have to go. I'd have to go through my Will Smith discography to put it in time. I have no idea what falls on.
That's newer than that stuff that you listed. Oh yeah, Big Willie.
Massive. If you've been on the Twitter, there's people saying it's the musical equation.
Speaking of albums, there was a couple released
at the same time. Barbie being Taylor Swift, this week, Oppenheimer being Pearl Jam, two of the biggest, obviously Taylor Swift. We saw the stats that Douglas provided us, more massive than anybody in our lifetime that we've ever seen. And then Pearl Jam's, one of the biggest rock bands known to man. So pretty big. I've listened to the Pearl Jam album five times now. I've tried starting the Taylor Swift album a couple times. It hasn't worked out. So I don't have anything to say about that yet, but it's a double album. I don't know.
I've only listened to two songs. I listened to the Post Malone song the night it came out.
31 songs. Have you listened to it? Have you listened to it, Doug?
And then I listened to the Thanks Kim or Thanks Amy song, but no, I haven't listened to it. And I don't.
Of course. Swifties will never cross Taylor Swift, which is.
Yeah, I haven't listened to one thing off of there yet. Both of my daughters claim that it is fantastic. They'll never say anything otherwise. I can't remember. I thought I saw somebody that said it was meh. I can't remember who it was that said that. But
speaking of Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam will be,
but I don't know. But let's just tomorrow. Obviously we need to talk about. Go ahead.
Pretty. I mean, I know Howard's promoting the shit out of it.
This is our first ever performance on Howard's Stern. Though.
Yes. Eddie Vedder's been on Howard Stern, but Pearl Jam has not.
Well, I was gonna say, I don't think they've ever. I've never heard of them being on
Pearl Jam. This is number 12.
Oh, gotcha. What studio album is this? What number is this? Do you know, Will, off the top of your head? Yeah. Number 12, Dark Matter. With what was the producer's name? Andrew Watt, I believe is his name. Yeah, Andrew Watt, who had been credited with rejuvenating the Rolling Stones career based off their last album. Looking at the songs, he's got writing credits on, I think, every single
got it song on Friday. On the
album. I think
Times Yesterday might once be a today, first. So. Yeah, it's got some really good tracks on it. It's got some throwaway tracks.
What do you think about this album? You've listened to it five times. To me,
it's kind of like the Metallica stuff we talked about last year. They promise us this, and it just doesn't deliver to that. I don't hear anything off the album that was like back to the 10 versus Vitalogy days. There's really good tracks that I think if you're a Pearl Jam fan seeing them in 2024, you're looking forward to seeing those songs. There's four or five slower tracks that don't resonate with me right now. There's one song that Eddie wrote. I can't remember who, either Stone or Mike said that's Eddie's baby. That's why it's on the album. But it's dedicated to his daughters, and it's about the love of his daughters. It's not a rock song, and the music to it is a little out there as well. So it's just not a really good track. The slower songs are not doing much for me at this time, but the fast paced, good energy songs that I can imagine in concert are really, really good. Yeah.
Right. Okay. My initial take is I think this is a lot more aggressive album than Gigatron
was. Yeah, I think the last three songs.
I like it.
The album,
obviously, I think three songs like you album. Said, I mean, the first five.
I don't think you should really.
Five, six songs on there I thought were really solid, and then it just kind of fell off a little bit for me.
I think they kind of went out with a whimper with the way they kind of did the album track.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have some type of story or some type of thought process on how they grouped the songs together the way they did. So I'm sure it makes sense then. But to me, I was just kind of disappointed in how it kind of fizzled out there. Yeah, so these are my rankings. I rank them in quarters.
So being our resident Pearl Jam expert that you are,
based off the NCAA football, back for everybody who's
the 12
used to
play albums,
that
the 12 studio albums that are
back
out
at you next summer. The Heisman albums are 10 versus Invitalogy. The All American albums would be Yield, No Code, and Avocado. The All Conference is where I will put Dark Matter with Binaural and Riot Act. And then I have the Varsity albums being the last three albums, Gigaton, Backspacer, and Lightning Bolt. So when you look at it that way, that would mean that this is Pearl Jam's best album in almost 20 years. So, you know, it just depends on how you look at it. To me, I wasn't expecting anything to come close to 10 versus Vitalogy. I thought they did a good job. Again, the good tracks, Scared of Fear and React. Responder, the first two songs, really good way to start an album. They then go to an acoustic song, which Erica thought was a country song. Neither one of us really liked that. And then after that was Dark Matter. And then you got Upper Hand is my favorite song of the album. It's a great tune. Waiting for Stevie is a great tune. And then Running, about 2.5 minutes, really fast, energetic, aggressive song. Really great track. If I'm seeing Pearl Jam in 2024, I want to hear those songs live.
Gotcha. I liked it. I mean, I'm not sure. I think I need to listen to it a few more times. Currently, I have Lightning Bolt ahead of this album because I just really like that album. So I'm sure that it's going to – I've only listened to it once. So
like list or TikTok.
I think it's going to take a few more listens.
Pearl Jam's got to find a way to get on TikTok.
The initial, I definitely see it climbing the ranks. So, Doug, have you checked it out?
It wasn't for Howard Stern.
You didn't listen to it first thing yesterday? Right. I've been seeing a lot of Instagram videos that have been started. I get notified when there's a Pearl Jam Instagram video gets started, but
I tried on Friday night. I listened to the first 30 minutes of it or so, and then I was
all right.
I was kind of underwhelmed.
Shit.
The songs were
I didn't listen to Taylor Swift, so what? I don't know. It's a lot.
Got to break it down.
It's a lot to. It's a lot to commit to. 31 songs. We all know that when it comes to albums that are that long, that I'm not gonna. We tried it with Morgan Wallen. I couldn't do it. Tried it with Dolly.
We got a Pilots coming out in maybe the next 3 weeks or
too
so.
Much. Any upcoming albums coming up that we know of? I believe
that's exciting, and that I'm up to. 21 Pilots to me is probably the biggest. Let me check what PRP says is coming out.
Vultures 2, Kanye and Future will be out in the first week of May.
No, I probably won't be listening to Kanye ever again.
I figured you had. I did.
I listened on the first day. I'm a huge Kanye West fan.
Vultures on my liked playlist. I will admit it. Excuse me, yay. Yay. It's yay.
Carnival. Big Alien Carnival. Ant Farm new album next week. We got Kanye. That may be it. Not a lot.
Yay.
Yay. Going through the PRP, which is just hard rock. Elliot's not in a good mood, so I apologize.
Mike, did you give a face when he mentioned the Alien Ant Farms?
They're past their time. Movies.
Yeah, I mean, Alien Ant Farms is really not... That name me one other song besides their cover of Smooth Criminal. Oh. Okay. Not on me. Right. I did hear a snippet of what is being said that is new, highly suspect music that sounds pretty promising. If you're a fan of their first two albums,
very possible.
Kind of back to that kind of bluesy rock vibe. We'll see what happens, though. I'm sure they'll find a way to fuck it up. All right. Anything else? We covered a lot. A lot. Red, thank you very much for joining us again. Looking forward to much more consistent.
I
enjoyed
it. I hope there's not a lag in the recording.
5 minutes of hip hop and your presence as well.
The entire episode. Thanks for listening. Well, I'm very happy that Doug is joining us for the second episode in a row and many more to come.
I got nothing else.
Thanks for having me.
Just live. No judgments here.
Hey, no problem. All right, guys. Until then, be safe. Be happy. Just live, baby. Bye.